Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, folks, thanks for joining us here today in the broadcast. I'm your host, James White. This is Northwest Liberty News on this first day of June 2022. And we're delighted to be with you today here on the broadcast with a returning guest. And she has a tragic story to tell, and like so many others that have been victimized by predatory lending practices and white-collar crime and other things. And we wanted to have Toni Mitchell on the broadcast again today to tell her story and give us sort of a recap of her situation in light of the recent developments in the Dennis Thornton Thorco case that I've been covering here for quite some time. And I'll bring up the document here in a minute, but they quit claim deeded the property and everything back to Dennis Thornton after, of course, claiming that he owed the money. So big developments, I think, are taking place, and we wanted to have Toni Mitchell back on the broadcast here today to talk about that. Toni Mitchell, thanks so much for joining us here today on Northwest Liberty News.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for doing this.
Well, sure, of course we have to. You know, we have no choice. We have to fight the tyranny. If not, it's going to overrun us. So I just want to say we've just launched the guest call-in line here today. This is really the first time no one's ever even called on this particular line before. But if you're on the video portion there of the broadcast, you can see the guest call-in line there. If not, if you're on the audio portion or the blog talk, which we've launched the blog talk broadcast today as well, the call-in line is 563-999-3736. It's 563-999-3736. We're not taking any calls right now, but we might perhaps as we go down the line, because I eventually want to bring in people that have been victimized, you know, with predatory lending practices and other things. So, Toni, why don't you just go ahead and tell us if you can, just, you know, you've been on my broadcast before. I think you're the first interview, you and Randy, that I did here in my studio. That kind of kicked all of this off, and it's been quite a journey from there. And you know, cutting off locks of gates, setting up a camp up at the top of the mountain. You know, your people have been filing criminal charges now again with the sheriff's department. Why don't you go ahead and, if you can, just tell us your story and your how it all happened. Of course, we know they slipped another mortgage in your closing document and end up getting both your property. So give us, if you can, Toni, give us a background and let us know where we stand today. Toni Mitchell.
Well, I thought I was co-signing on a home for my daughter, and her son became ill and eventually passed away. And due to all the bills that they were incurring with the illness and the death, they were unable to keep up with the house payments, so I was making them. And in 2014, my business took a hit, and I was unable to keep making all the payments. I had a business loan and the home loan. And so I went to the bank and asked them if they would be willing to rewrite the loan, which they told me that when I got co-signed that they could rewrite that loan at any time because they had a huge balloon payment and I didn't like that. And she said, oh yeah, just come in and we'll rewrite it. So I went in, they refused. They wanted 3 years of back taxes and all this other stuff. And they were just unwilling to cooperate in any fashion. And so the house went into foreclosure. And they kept calling me, and I kept telling them, you know, just let me sell the house. I had it sold once, and they refused to release the lien on it because it wasn't enough money. And they kept telling me that there was nothing they could do. I said, well, just take the house back, sell it, and then rewrite the loan for whatever the balance is, and I'll make payments on what I owe you left over. They wouldn't do that. They then told me that they were going to take my house too. And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, because you're not going to have enough, so we're going to take them both. And that just didn't seem right. So I started trying to find an attorney. And Randy and I searched for 2014 up until 2017 when they finally took it. But I caught the payments up at one point. They filed a bunch of interest and stuff, which I later found out that's against the law. They're only allowed to charge no more than $1,000 if you catch the payments up. And almost a third of what they charged me was in interest and attorney's fees. And they just, through the whole process, were unwilling to work with me. And the night before it was supposed to go for sale, I filed bankruptcy. And that didn't fly. But during the bankruptcy process, I had the house sold again. And they kept telling me to list it with the realtor that, you know, they would let me sell it. And came down to the week before the sale was supposed to go through and they backed out. Said they weren't going to do it. And so then I had to pay the buyer, the potential buyer, back for the inspection and everything else. That was another $1,000.
You know, just to be fair on something, every lending institution you ran into weren't villains. Didn't Glacier Bank actually do kind of right by you? Didn't Glacier Bank try to help you out and try to get things straightened out? And I think they were rejected. Can you go over that?
Well, no, Glacier Bank, I had a business loan with them on my business, and they were first on my house. And when I found out that Whitefish Credit Union was now second on my house. And the loan officer at Glacier Bank called me and said, what do we, because I was as far behind with them on payments as I was with Whitefish Credit Union. And he said, what do we need to do to help you out here? And I said, I just can't make these payments right now. I'm trying to keep from losing my home. And he said, what? And I told him, and he said, well, they're not the real estate business. They should rewrite that.
Oh, yes, they are in the real estate business. Make no mistake about that. But anyway,
well, we know that now for sure. But at the time, we didn't. And they rewrote their loan and lowered it by over half of what I owed them. And put the payments that I was behind at the end of the loan and said, well, you know, we're not worried about it. You've been good. You'll catch up.
So Glacier Bank was pretty fair about it.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
It's good to hear.
And he could not understand why they would not rewrite that loan. You know, he said, you're trying to make a sale here. They're not going to let you sell it. They should rewrite the loan. Well, there's laws that they're supposed to work with you, but evidently banks don't have to follow those.
Laws, schmaws, who pays attention to that stuff when you're a banker? Come on.
Yeah, well, we searched for an attorney and couldn't find one, and we finally found one in Polson. It wasn't his area of expertise, but he was the only one willing to talk. I couldn't even get attorneys to call me back. The minute Whitefish Credit Union's name was mentioned, they said there was a conflict of interest and they couldn't touch it. And so the attorney we found had just started, and here come the process servers and to throw us out of the house. And we ended up leaving the house with a suitcase, a backpack thing, and he said he'd get us back in, and he fought with their attorneys, and the judge wouldn't even listen to him. He wouldn't even, the judge wouldn't even let him plead our case. She automatically sided with the credit union on everything. So it was Randy and I, and at the time we had a big old 125-pound Newfoundland, and we were out on the street, and we stayed in a motel until our money ran out, and then we ended up getting a travel trailer and staying in with that, but we just about froze to death in that the first winter. And then a lady I worked with let us stay in her house for a little while. And then she was selling it, so we had to move out again. So then we had to move into the Red Lion. When we were in the travel trailer is when you did the first interview. And through that interview is when we met Dennis. And Dennis has been a godsend to us. I think Randy and I both would have committed suicide if it wouldn't have been for Dennis and you. But we ended up spending a year at, well, 8 months at the Red Lion. And we finally got an apartment here in Kalispell now. But it was a rough 2.5 years for sure.
So they had there was a point where you owed X amount of money on the mortgage, and then your assets were sold, and the amount of money that you owed was satisfied, and then there was additional funds that were available after the sale. I want to say $160,000 rings a bell to me. Tell us a little bit about that if you can, Tony.
Well, they have a sneaky way of getting around that. When the houses were sold, there were no other bidders. Whitefish Credit Union bought them back and paid just what I owed on it. And my home at the time was worth over $300,000. And the Ronan home was $152,500, I think is what they actually sold it for. But yeah, they don't claim that there was any funds left over since they just paid exactly what I owed for it. They consider themselves to be the buyer. But yeah, they sold my house for over $270,000 and the Ronan home for $152,500. And I owed them the original loan was for $188,000. So, yeah. But they claim there was no funds left over.
So how encouraged are you, and I'm going to bring up the document here real quick. I'm not sure if you've had a chance to see it, Tony. You probably can't see it. You won't be able to see it here unless you're watching on a different screen here. But this is the title work here that was just recently filed for Thorco that says the satisfaction of mortgage, $3.36 million. That was paid off, and it says the land has been quit claim deeded into the Thorco is quit claim deeded over to Thorco.
Yeah.
Do you have any? I know you're not an attorney, and I don't expect you to, you know, have legal knowledge. But what's your overall view on what they're trying to do here? Because I don't trust them. I think they have something up their sleeve. They're trying to.
I do too. I don't trust them, but to me it looks like they gave him his land back, but I don't know. I don't understand why they would do that all of a sudden. Because Dennis has been fighting this as long as I have.
No, right, but it's gotten more probably media coverage and more exposure in the last year than it probably has all those other years combined. I've done several broadcasts. I want to say I did 13 or 14 videos.
Right.
Plus, you know, we were there when we cut the lock off the gate, did a video of all of his equipment that was on there that got vandalized. And funny thing is, folks, is you want to hear the kicker, they filed trespassing charges against Dennis that he trespassed on the property. And then they produced the documentation that says that it's his property. So how can you get charged with trespassing on your own property, Tony? It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
None of it makes sense. So,
well, that's like when they threw us out. They locked up all our personal possessions, refused to let us in there, kept everything under lock and key away from us for over a year. Then they went in and packed everything up and put it out in outbuildings, and the outbuildings leaked. And when they finally did let us in and we would open a box up, it would be half full of garbage, and I'm not kidding, hamburger buns that had been sitting in there for over a year. They were just, it was green goo. Busted bags of flour in with electronics. I still don't even have my clothes. I don't know if I even got my clothes, because the way they pack stuff, we were only given 2 weeks to get our stuff out of there. We asked the judge for more time. She winked at their attorney and told them, I think you've had enough time.
Yeah,
Refused to let us have. You know, it was in the middle of winter time, and it was just me and Randy, and I'm basically handicapped now. I can't hardly do anything. The tires and wheels were stolen off of Randy's truck. All his tools were stolen while it was under their lock and key. And yet they don't feel like they're obligated to make that right.
Well, you know, we can go into that conversation a little bit deeper, but there's some elements, I believe, in the judiciary here in the Flathead Valley that maybe be compromised, maybe have become compromised by Whitefish Credit Union.
I agree.
You know, because it's some of the decisions that they've made don't make sense unless something else is going on. So, you know, that's the way I look at it. Folks, if you are listening here and you've been a victim of credit union shenanigans, you can call in here to the show. 563-999-3736. That's 563-999-3736. And also, you can go to creditunioncrimes.com if you'd like to and check out the videos that we've done previously. I don't have any articles up there yet, but I believe all the, I don't know, there's 13, 14 videos I believe I did, I produced. I'm just estimating, but you can reach all those videos by going to creditunioncrimes.com. And you can call and talk right now on the show live at 563-999-3736. Jot that number down. It's a new number. Tony, what do you, you know, I know we've talked before about filing a criminal complaint. Is that something that you're still motivated to do? Because that does that.
I filed mine via email to the sheriff because I had to do it in Polson. But they weren't interested in it. He told me it was a civil matter and that there was nothing they could do. Evidently, the sheriff's office down there isn't as good as the sheriff's.
Is that Sheriff Bell? Is that Sheriff Bell?
I talked to a deputy and I filed it. He said send it to me. And I sent him all the paperwork via email. But I don't know if they've done anything with it or not.
I've got some friends in Lake County down there. I can make a couple of phone calls and see what the heck's going on. Because you should be able, you should be allowed to file a criminal complaint. How can they stop you from filing a criminal complaint?
Well, he said he'd take the paperwork, but that there was nothing they could do, that that was a civil matter.
Yeah.
So I wasn't too optimistic in that regard.
Do you have a copy of the criminal complaint? Did they send you back a copy of it?
I've got what I sent.
So when they send you back a, they should probably, I mean, they're going to have to take the paperwork and probably file it in some manner, I would imagine. Maybe if they send something back to you. I don't know if
Yeah, I've never heard anything from them after I sent it.
Yeah, not surprising. So do you feel a bit frustrated there, Tony, because you don't don't have any real...
That's putting it mildly.
Well, because you the institutions that are put in place and that, you know, that we vote for, the those that are, you know, our representatives, and you vote for them and they don't do the job that they have been elected to do. And they seem to be not only not helping the problem, but part of the problem, you know, it's got to be kind of frustrating because, you know, we're in Flathead County and seemingly all of the cases for Whitefish Credit Union end up going in the lap of two judges here in Flathead County. So it's a little bit different.
That's the same down in Lake County. It goes before one judge.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So it has some appearance of the system being a little bit rigged, does it not?
Oh, yeah. We took it to the state. We took it to Chuck Munson, who is the assistant attorney general. And he told us to file a complaint with him. We filed it, never heard nothing back. We took it before the Banking Commission board that Melanie Hall, and they didn't do nothing. They said that they called Whitefish Credit Union, and they said they did nothing wrong. Well, when you catch your five-year-old in the cookie jar, they didn't do it either.
So you're telling me that was the extent of their investigation, is they placed a phone call to the credit union. The credit union said, yeah, we didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, and Melanie Hall actually stated that her job was to make sure that the bank stayed solvent.
So it has nothing to do with justice, if you will.
No, the justice system is so screwed right now, it's unreal.
It is indeed. So what's the next step for you, Tony?
We just hang on Dennis's coattail and hope. Joe and I go down and sit in front of the bank and try and collect signatures, and we haven't done it for a while, but we talk to people that have had money taken out of their accounts. It's unreal. That what this bank is getting away with is beyond me. It's mafia-like.
I apologize for those Telegram listeners, those that listen to Telegram. I forgot to start the Telegram feed, but I'm on plenty of other feeds. You can go to Facebook and get the feed there. I believe it's being broadcast to Twitch as well, and also on Rumble. So I apologize there for that, being late with that. No, the stuff that they're getting away with, and you know, the thing is, Tony, is it's not just you and it's not just Dennis. There are several other people that I've had on the broadcast that I've talked to, you know, privately and publicly, and the pattern seems to be the same over and over again, you know. It's you know, I've got reports of them being pulled into a room, into a side room, and say, you know, if you don't play ball, we're just going to take all of your property. Just kind of sit down and shut up and sign the paperwork and let us steal this much of your property, or else we're going to steal it all. And people may have a hard time believing that goes on here, but I'm telling you, it does.
Oh, until I got the Breckenridge report, I couldn't figure out how they could take my house. We stayed in the house for 8 months after it was sold because I knew what they had done was not right. And I was not going to give up the fight.
Yeah, I'd say it's a little bit more than not right. Again, folks, if you want to call in, if you have an experience with the credit union or any really lending institution here in the Flathead Valley, you can call in 563-999-3736, 563-999-3736. And I know that's not a 406 number because that's just randomly generated by Blog Talk, and that's the service that we're using for the call-in. So, I might be able to request a Montana number, but I don't know if I'll get it. So if you want to call and you have a question. So what would you tell people out there, Tony, that you know, obviously right now, you know, the housing market is booming. People, I mean, I know interest rates have increased up a little bit, but still people, a lot of people are buying houses. A lot of people, you know, where are you going to go? No one's got $450,000, $500,000 sitting around. You have to go to the bank to get this stuff done because they're the ones that have all the money. What would you say, what would you suggest, and how would you advise people moving forward to be able to avoid some of the same pitfalls that you did to keep this from happening to them?
I don't know, because like Dennis, you know, we all had excellent credit ratings. We've all had multiple loans with the credit union, and they tell you that your credit union's supposed to be safe. You know, it's member owned. It's not like the big bank, you know, the mainstream banks. I don't know, because my house was not on that when I signed that stuff. And then find out later that the numbers up in the corner have been whited out and my home's been slipped in on the paperwork. And I don't know how you guard yourself against that. I really don't.
Well, you would have to have an attorney with you when you purchase your house. And, you know, like you had stated, you reach out to these attorneys and they say, yeah, we can't do anything because, you know, we're it's a conflict of interest with White First Credit Union. And
that's a law I'd like to see changed, is where the banks can't run around and hire every attorney in the area and corrupt the whole pool of them.
Well, they don't necessarily, I don't think, corrupt the pool of them. What happens would be, for example, if they have a foreclosure case or some case that is, you know, where the bank is the plaintiff, for example, they'll contract it out to a law firm and have them do some work for them, some contract work, a couple, maybe one or two cases. And then at that point, they've got them pretty much, you know, it is a conflict of interest, right? So.
Yeah. There's an attorney in the valley. I mean, we called Great Falls, Helena, Missoula, and if I could get them to call me back, the minute I said Whitefish Credit Union, sorry, can't touch it.
You know, it's interesting that I reached out to one of the local news organizations here to see if they were interested in the Whitefish Credit Union story, and their reply was, wow. Whitefish Credit Union sure does spend a lot of money with us every month advertising.
Yeah.
So, and this again, you know, strategically speaking, it benefits them to advertise heavy with all the local newspapers, all the local radio shows and television, you know, cable shows.
Yeah.
And it behooves them to be able to tie up all these attorneys within a 100-mile radius, because then they create this bubble of, you know, this bubble of invincibility that they surround themselves with. And
well, when you're going through a foreclosure, you can't just pick any attorney. They have to have the knowledge, otherwise you're just wasting your money. They have to know how to fight this, and if they don't, you're screwed. So you just might as well. And I think the majority of people do just pack up and let it go. You know, they figure they don't have a chance. I don't know. It's our society is just really screwed up.
Well, when you have the participation of, you know, in some cases, the judges and attorneys and other people involved in that process are sort of playing for the same team, and it's not Team America, it's not Team You and Team Me, it's Team Them. And Team Them gets all
the credit union sat on our possessions for over a year and a half.
That's right, I remember that.
So when we went to the judge to ask her for more time, seriously, another 2 weeks would have killed them after sitting on it for a year and a half doing nothing? And why did they wait until October to let us in when there was snow flying and it was cold and everything was calculated?
Of course. Sure it was. Okay, Tony, we're going to go ahead and wind down the interview here. Is there anything that you wanted to say before we let you go? Go ahead.
I just hope if there's any more victims out there, they call in and don't let them do it to you. Don't, you know, you may have a chance. And we have to stand up to these people. I'm not going to quit until I don't care if I get nothing out of it. If I put them away, the people that have done this, then that's what I want. I'd rather have my house back, but I don't think that's going to happen. So.
Well, they've you know, it seems to be organized and it seems to be well-funded and it seems to be, as you said, strategic and calculated. And, you know, people like you and I are just regular folks. You know, I'm sitting around thinking about evil and how I can, you know, manipulate things and, you know, find loopholes to be able to enrich myself. I just don't have time for that. I mean, there's too many
important things. I don't know how their brain comes up with that. My brain doesn't even think of those things.
Well, you know, that's a different show altogether. It's a different show.
Getting to know all the other victims in this and listening to their stories, they're all the same.
You know, and yeah, just as a plug, you can hear those stories at creditunioncrimes.com. That's creditunioncrimes.com. You go to that page, all the videos are sort of lined up, stacked on top of each other, and I think you'll see at least one or two videos with you in it, Tony. I think I interviewed you over there. Weren't you picketing over there at First Credit Union? They called
the cops. Yeah, they were trying to arrest us.
You called the cops on you for picketing. Here you are in a wheelchair holding the sign, and they want you to be arrested for I don't know what kind of malarkey they were trying to pull. But,
well, it was trespassing, and then when we told them we wanted to see the video of us stepping on their property, then they backed off.
Shocker. Okay, Tony, thanks so much. Give Randy my best. Thanks so much for joining us.
I will.
Thanks so much for joining us here. Keep us updated, and of course, as we continue to move forward, I think this thing with Whitefish Credit Union and Thorco is far from over. So as we continue to move forward, we'll reference you and have you back on the show, and maybe we'll have a round table at some point. I think it's probably a good idea to have multiple victims here at one time, and corroborating their story in real time would be powerful, I think. So we'll keep
you. Thank you for everything that you've done in trying to get the word out. You've been a godsend to us.
I appreciate the kind words. I just can't stand crooks. So I have daughters as well that have to live in this valley and have to get car loans and house loans. And, you know, they want to build a life here too, free of crime and corruption. So, you know, I appreciate the kind words, but I have many motivations for doing what I do, but thanks for recognizing that. I appreciate it.
We appreciate it.
Thanks, Tony. We'll catch up to you next
time.
Thank
you.
Okay. God bless.
God bless.
Okay, folks, let's see here. There we go. Got it. Okay, let me bump over the other screen here. Okay, there goes Tony Mitchell. Let me make this a little bit smaller here because it looks kind of weird, I think. Tony Mitchell was the very first person that I interviewed. I don't even know how long ago it was. She was on the show, and I think her and Randy right here. It was before when I had the different – I have a different studio set up. Where I'm sitting right now is, I'm of course, this is a green screen behind me. You probably realize that at this point, but it used to be a stage with chairs and a backdrop and that type of thing. And they were in here right in the studio and did a video here in studio. It's powerful, powerful video. There's no doubt about it. If you go to creditunioncrimes.com, you can see that video and, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking, you know, and here's the thing, folks, that is kind of the big bummer of all of it, you know, is, you know, we're all sort of neighbors here, right? I mean, we're all sort of, you know, I mean, this is not a, it's not a big valley. It's getting bigger because there's more people coming, but, you know, I don't mean bigger geographically, but it's getting a lot more populated. But still, there is still, you know, it still has that homey type of, in some cases, atmosphere where you know a lot of your neighbors and you know a lot of people in town. And So, you know, to be able to do that and to treat your neighbors like that is kind of frustrating and kind of a bummer. But that's something they're going to have to deal with and live with. So we're just going to go ahead and end the broadcast here. We're going to eventually move up here. When I get acclimated, we're going to be moving these broadcasts, and they're going to be longer, and we're going to have call-ins, and we may be broadcasting on the actual AM and FM radio here coming up soon. We're trying to work that out right now. But in the meantime, you can go to libertylinks.io/Jim's Links. That's at libertylinks.io/Jim's Links to catch up on everything that I got going on, all the social media sites, websites where things are broadcast, that type of stuff. So we'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. With Critical Disclosure Radio, and I don't remember who my guest is right now, but I'll put those announcements out here in a little while. Thanks so much for looking in today. Until next time, this is James White for Northwest Liberty News, saying bye now.